Press TV headlines. NPT calls for a nuclear-free Middle East, pushes Israel to place all nuclear facilities under IAEA safeguards. Also ahead, President Obama provides hope towards ending the Gulf of Mexico oil chaos as it enters day 40.
Here in Pakistan, dozens of people died as gunmen attacked two worship places in the east of the country.
It is 2 a.m. in Gaza and 3:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Welcome to this edition of Press TV's World News. Well, the UN Conference on Nuclear Nonproliferation has called for the creation of a nuclear weapons-free zone in the Middle East. This after the U.S. finally yielded to international demands to pressure Israel to join the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. The final statement of the conference underlines the importance of Israel's accession to the NPT. The statement says Tel Aviv must put its nuclear facilities under the safeguards of the International Atomic Energy Agency. The final statement calls for holding a conference in 2012 to pave the way for the establishment of a nuclear-free zone. UN Chief Ban Ki-moon has hailed the outcome of the conference. Israel is widely believed to have the region's only nuclear arsenal. Well, we're getting news here and now at Press TV that Israeli warplanes have carried out airstrikes on the Gaza Strip. For the latest on that, we're now joined by our correspondent Yusuf Al-Hilu, who will give us the latest. Yusuf, over to you.
Yes, Israeli planes carried out an airstrike in Rafah in the southern part of the Gaza Strip, targeting the defunct Gaza International Airport with five missiles. According to medical sources, no casualties were reported so far. This area particularly is a tunnel area along the Egyptian border and is used by tunnel workers to operate in the area, so it's a miracle that nobody was killed or injured in this area. Now, usually Israel claims that these strikes and response to homemade rockets were fired from Gaza into southern Israel, but no group, no faction claimed any responsibility for such things.
All right, that was Yusuf Al-Hilu, Press TV's correspondent, updating us on the Israeli warplanes carrying out airstrikes on the Gaza Strip. Well, Israel has sent a number of Navy ships to stop a Gaza-bound aid convoy in the eastern Mediterranean. The convoy of several ships, known as the Gaza Freedom Flotilla, carries 10,000 tons of supplies for the Palestinians under Israeli siege. Reports say the ships have made it to pass through Cypriot waters despite a sail ban. Israel has threatened to either jail or deport the activists and politicians on board the ships. Meanwhile, the EU's High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy has reiterated the Union's call on the issue. Catherine Ashton's spokesperson has urged an immediate opening of all crossings on the aid convoy's way. The EU says it remains gravely concerned about the humanitarian situation in Gaza. U.S. President Barack Obama has once again blamed oil giant BP for the oil spill disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. Obama's comments came as the American public's frustration is growing day after day.
This is a man-made catastrophe that's still evolving, and we face a long-term recovery and restoration effort. As I've said before, BP is the responsible party for this disaster. What that means is they're legally responsible for stopping the leak, and they're financially responsible for the enormous damage that they've created. And we're going to hold them accountable, along with any other party responsible for the initial explosion and loss of life on that platform.
The U.S. president has ordered tripling of manpower in the region hit by the oil slick. He said that he takes responsibility of the situation. He also promised to give justice to those whose lives has been harmed by the disaster. This as crude oil is still gushing into the Gulf 5 weeks after the Deep Horizon rig blew up. Political sparks have been flying in Japan ever since Prime Minister Yukio Hachiyama decided to allow a new U.S. Marine base to be built on the island of Okinawa. Now a Japanese cabinet member has been fired for her opposition to Hachiyama's policy.
This is Ikari, the Japanese word for anger. It is the word that is being used by the protesters to describe their feelings about Japanese Prime Minister Yukio Hatoyama and his decision to accept the U.S. plan to build a new marine airbase on a pristine coastline of the island of Okinawa. On the other hand, Prime Minister Hatoyama tells the Japanese people that the bases are necessary for Japanese security.
I believe that it's important to maintain a relationship of trust between Japan and the United States, especially when we consider the recent conflict between the two Koreas and the overall security situation in East Asia.
Hatoyama's argument, however, does not seem to be mollifying the local opposition. Okinawan lawmaker Chobin Zukeiran, for example, is a member of the Prime Minister's own Democratic Party of Japan.
Although we now have this U.S.-Japan agreement, in light of the fact that there is no corresponding agreement with the local communities, it has no meaning. The Okinawans absolutely will not accept it.
But there is another factor. Japan is currently ruled by a three-party coalition. The Social Democratic Party, however, has decided to make a stand. They argue that Hatoyama's new policy is tantamount to a betrayal of his public promises. Facing unyielding resistance from his small but determined coalition partner, Hatoyama felt compelled to dismiss her opposition to the U.S.-Japan agreement. Ms. Fukushima explained at a press conference that to accept the U.S. plan is a betrayal of the Japanese people, and she refused to go along with it. Politics is based on trust, she said, and that means acting in accordance with one's promises. Fukushima seems to be gaining her share of appreciation.
Of course, I stand for Ms. Fukushima, and I do admire her because Hatoyama's, he told a lie. So we people cannot accept Hatoyama's lie. And Okinawan people got so angry, and I have a big sympathy for them.
The dismissal of Mizuho Fukushima almost certainly means that the three-party coalition is now at an end, and the Japanese government is on an even shakier foundation than before. Michael Penn, Press TV, Tokyo.
In other news, fresh violence in the Pakistani city of Lahore has claimed at least 80 lives and left more than 100 others injured. The clashes erupted after gunmen attacked two separate prayer sites belonging to a minority sect in Model Town. The assailants opened fire on worshippers before exploding hand grenades. They also took around 1,000 worshippers hostage. Hours later, Pakistani commandos launched an operation to save the hostages.
The operation is on. And the several armed forces and the police is trying to take control of the mosque. There are injured who are inside. Nobody can say how much longer it will take.
Officials say the assaults were carried out by seven gunmen. Police have detained three suspects in connection with the violence so far, but other reports say the gun battle is still raging. Local media say a group known as the Tehreek-e-Taliban in Punjab has claimed responsibility for the attacks. Our correspondent Javed Rana updates us on the situation in Lahore.
This is the worst ever attack in Lahore, particularly during last 2 years when these hostage-taking drama started by the militants. In this case, we haven't seen any attack of this large scale in the Lahore. We have heard of Tehreek-e-Taliban, Pakistan, of claiming responsibility for these two terrorist attacks, but we haven't heard of any reasons why they have gone for this, because usually Taliban's have been attacking security forces. They have been attacking the police academy forces. That has been the standard pattern of terrorist attack in the eastern city Lahore. But this time they have opted for the minority group, which has caused resentment among people, because under Pakistan's constitution, the government of Pakistan is responsible to provide protection to all these minority groups. And there's going to be more sense of insecurity among minority groups in Pakistan after this terrorist attack.
Washington says it's moving ahead with its proposal at the UN to impose more sanctions against Tehran. This is while Turkey and Brazil are pushing hard for negotiations on Iran's nuclear program.
Talking about Iran's nuclear program, as signatories of the 10-point declaration, we are behind it. And we are going to be behind this permanently because we started this process by believing in it, and the step that we are taking is a conscious one based on a belief. Because if we want to help the world peace, it can only be done this way.
We do not need anyone's permission in order to deal with the nuclear issue in Iran.
Brazil's President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has again insisted that negotiations are the only way forward. Meanwhile, Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has said the U.S. should eliminate its own nuclear arsenal to be convincing in its standoff with Tehran. Iran, Turkey, and Brazil have signed a declaration under which Iran could send low-enriched uranium to Turkey and receive higher-enriched fuel for its research reactor. Washington says the declaration falls short of what the United States wants. U.S. lawmakers have taken measures to alienate companies that do business with Iran. The House of Representatives has approved new sanctions punishing international businesses with more than $20 million worth of annual investment with Tehran. This covers the energy and technology sectors. The bill needs to be approved in the U.S. Senate before being signed into law by the president. The proposed sanctions are meant to put more pressure on Tehran over its nuclear energy program. Iran says it wants more economic prosperity, growth and security for Persian Gulf nations and all regional countries. Foreign Minister Manoucher Mottaki says these goals are achieved through bilateral and multilateral cooperation. Mottaki says Iran has boosted its trade relations with regional countries and that there is room for more growth. Mottaki is meeting with his counterparts from Black Sea countries in Bulgaria. Well, for 7 days, hundreds of Syrians visited the Festival of Iranian Cinema in Damascus. The visitors have watched the latest movie productions from Iran.
A large number of artists, writers, and journalists have converged on the venue of the Iranian Film Festival, which was held at Al-Kindi Cinema under the patronage of the Syrian Minister of Culture, Dr. Riyad Nasan Agha. The event has been organized by the General Organization of Cinema in Syria and Al-Kawthar Satellite Channel.
I'm very happy to be part of this film. I think that is very important to shed light on our Palestinian cause and express our viewpoint about it to the world. The Zionists are forging history and reality and turning them into huge film productions that have impacts on the West.
Al-Ghuraba, which means The Strangers, is a joint Syrian-Iranian film that was screened at the opening. It is directed by Iranian director Abbas Rafi'i. The Syrian actors played in the film expressed hope that in the future they can be part of even more projects that feature the Palestinian cause. The film follows the plight of a Palestinian refugee and also explores Israeli terrorist acts and the hope of Palestinians to return to their homeland.
The Iranian cinema is competing with the best film productions in the world. We are organizing this festival in response to the audience's demand to see the best Iranian films. We consider the festival as another step to increase dialogue between the people of the two countries.
This is not the first time that these two Syrian and Iranian film companies have teamed up. They have previously produced a film called Al-Mutabaqi, and there are discussions to produce even more films focusing on the Palestinian Nakba and Israeli war crimes. The Iranian Film Festival held in Damascus stresses the unique artistic relation between the two countries. It is expected that the festival will lead to more joint cooperation to launch projects that will address the region's great civilization and regional developments. Hamad Ali, Press TV, Damascus.
Before moving on to other news now, we are getting breaking news coming out of Gaza, now the south of that Gaza Strip area. We are getting reports that the Israelis have carried out more strikes on the southern part of the Gaza Strip. Of course, we will update you on any casualties or injuries as a result of these continuing strikes. That and much more on Press TV's website as well, presstv.ir. Well, Iran is hosting its 11th International Radio Festival. Producers from over 30 countries are taking part. The theme for this year's festival is Radio, Medium of Hope and Awareness. It aims to provide an opportunity for further cooperation among participants. The president of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, Izzatullah Zarqami, attended the festival. He told Press TV that he sees a bright future for the media in Iran.
Iranian television and radio networks are trying out alternative approaches to those of other international channels, and this is, in my opinion, the secret of their success. Iranian news networks try to portray reality with an independent look. Unfortunately, this new approach has attracted many audiences. Today, the people of the world are thirsty for views and analysis different from clichés offered by most of the media that use a single source to produce their stories.
It is just under 4:15 in the morning here in Tehran. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. NPT calls for a nuclear-free Middle East, pushes Israel to place all nuclear facilities under IAEA safeguards. President Obama provides hope towards ending the Gulf of Mexico oil chaos as it enters day 40.
Here in Pakistan, dozens of people died as gunmen attacked two worship places in the east of the country.